Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to say hello. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, located just a few miles outside of Boone on Highway 105 South, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And that would be probably no more than 3 to 4 miles outside of the Boone city limits. And I'd like to take a moment and invite you to come and be with us. If you are looking for a church home, if you do not have a church home, or maybe you're visiting here in the high country over the weekend sometime, we'd love for you to come and be with us at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website. That's mountlebanonbc.org. Noah will give the contact information at the end of the radio broadcast. But we appreciate this opportunity to come this way. And I wanted to take just a moment to mention our college ministry. School is back in now, and our church has a ministry called Collegians for Christ. Brother Kyle Austin and Sister Amanda. Brother Kyle is the director over that. They have a weekly Bible study every Tuesday night at 7:30. Last week they met in the Plemons Student Union. And you would be more than welcome if you are a student and looking for a ministry, an outreach like that. You'd be more than welcome to go and be with them on Tuesday nights at 7:30. You can find out more about that ministry at cfcboone.com. And so we're in the busy time of the year and a lot going on with our Bible Institute at Mount Lebanon on Thursday nights as well, and then all the other outreaches, activities that are going on. And so we thank the Lord for that. I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here and he's been at work and came to run the radio this morning, and I appreciate him. Good morning, Noah.
Good morning. It's good to be here. We do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, and we're going to mention our listeners who listen in on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, and also those who listen in on AM 690 out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KBGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and every time we travel somewhere or maybe even out in town, we have people come up and say that they hear us on the radio, and so we do appreciate that. We count it an honor and a privilege to be able to come this way, and the phrase, blessings of liberty, maybe you are a new listener, or maybe you are just driving down the road and have the radio on. Blessings of liberty. Blessings of liberty. The Lord had laid on my heart to do a radio broadcast to deal with our nation, our history, the Bible, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And I had been praying about that, and I was reading through the Constitution. And, of course, I know what the Bible says about liberty, and one of my favorite verses is Leviticus 25:10, and has always been one of my favorite verses. And one of the reasons is when I was just called to preach, our pastor asked me to teach the adult Sunday school class. And one of the first lessons I ever taught was out of Leviticus chapter 25 on the subject of the year of Jubilee, and that's what you find in Leviticus chapter 25, and then that verse number 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And so I was praying about a title for this radio broadcast, and I was reading in the Constitution the preamble. There is a phrase in there that says blessings of liberty. The blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And when I read that, I thought, that's it. And so blessings of liberty is a wonderful thing. You just think about it. It just sounds good. Blessings of liberty. But you know, we're living in a day in which talking about America's Christian heritage and talking about the importance of the United States Constitution and getting back to those principles, why, we live in a day where that will get you almost, not all the way, but almost in trouble. That could get you classified as a threat of some kind to our government. Isn't that an odd thing that in America, talking about Christ, talking about Christianity, talking about our Constitution, talking about our godly Christian heritage that we have can get you a sideways look? We have come a long, long ways in a very short period of time. But the IRS, I read an article this morning that said the IRS still targeting conservative groups. You know, when you think about Tea Party, and that's how this all started out, if you know what's been going on, well, a great deal or a great percentage of people that would associate themselves with the Tea Party would also associate or classify themselves as conservatives, as born-again Christians. And so when we're thinking about this IRS targeting of these groups and how wrong that is, you see who specifically that involves. We have daily in the news headlines talk about the NSA spying on American citizens. We have attacks from our government on the Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment. Fourth Amendment is against unreasonable search and seizure. Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms. It's talking about the ability to arm oneself. And then the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to peaceably assemble. So we have all these things going on in our nation. And in light of that, our ministry is more important than ever, more important even than when 4 years ago the Lord laid on my heart to begin this type of a ministry. And our thrust is, number one, America needs more than anything, not this mentality, well, just vote them out. America needs to get back to God. That is our greatest need, and that is our only hope. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Our nation needs to get back to our founding principles. We need to get back to the God of the Bible through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is our greatest need, spiritually, physically, governmentally speaking. We need to get back to the principles of our Constitution. Now, what I want to dwell on today, talk about today, September the 17th, which is just a few days away now, just a few weeks away, September 17th is Constitution Day in America. There is a Constitution Day. Now, I did not have a calendar in my house that had Constitution Day upon it. Well, that might be a conspiracy, that might not, but I noticed most of our calendars have everything else on it. But Constitution Day was not on any calendar in my house that I could find. But still, it is a real observed event in our nation. And it's recognized by our Congress. Constitution Day, September 17th this year. What I want to talk about today is our godly Constitution. This is before Constitution Day. But the subject, our godly Constitution. Now, this is opposed to something I want to share with you. one of our deacons at church brought me this full-page ad out of the Charlotte Observer. This was in the Charlotte Observer on Thursday, July the 4th, 2013. So I've been holding on to this all summer long and just waiting for the right time to talk about it and share some things about it. But it's full-page ad taken out in the Charlotte Observer, July 4th. Of course, that's Independence Day. This ad was taken out by an organization called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This Freedom From Religion Foundation is behind a lot of these lawsuits against school boards praying, against county government officials meeting and praying together, and just about anywhere you would find this type of a controversy, this Freedom From Religion Foundation has got their hands in it. And so they've taken out this full-page ad. The article or the ad says in the middle of it, "Celebrate our godless Constitution." And of course, this comes out on July the 4th, and they're saying, "Celebrate our godless Constitution." Well, I've been thinking about that, and so I want to talk about our godly Constitution. Now, they give, if you were to see this, they've got pictures of some of our founding forefathers, and they've got quotes by them, and then they've got a little snippet underneath saying something about them. Thomas Paine is on here, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington is on here, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison. And I don't have time to go through all of it, but just a couple of things I noticed. Now, George Washington, to say that George Washington is would have been for or would have been against God in our government, it is just a bold-faced lie. George Washington was a very pious, godly, good Christian man, a great Christian leader. But they've got George Washington on here, and underneath his picture and his signature, they say this. They say, "Our first United States president refused to take communion, kneel in prayer in churches," and then they've got in parentheses, "or at Valley Forge," and then they have a priest at his deathbed or take last rites. And so that's what they want you to know about George Washington, that somehow he would have been against God being in our government or God being in the arrangement of our Constitution. And so they say our first U.S. president refused to take communion, kneel in prayer in churches, have a priest at his deathbed, or take last rites. Now, it is true, if you study about the life of George Washington, he did reject much of the practices or many of the practices of the state church at that time. There was, once upon a time, state churches in just about all of the original 13 colonies, all except Rhode Island. And Mr. Washington, in his raising, was associated with the Episcopalian Church. Now, what they do not tell you, what you would not learn unless you went looking for this or really studied into the life of George Washington, is they do not tell you that George Washington was baptized by immersion by a Baptist preacher named John Gannot. And he requested baptism at the hands of John Gannot because of his studying of the scriptures. He had come to reject many of the practices of the Episcopalian Church. So when it says in this article that he rejected to have a priest or last rites or this kneeling in churches, that was not a rejection of the Christian religion. That was a rejection of the practices associated specifically with the Episcopalian Church at that time. That is what he rejected. He did not reject the Christian religion, and it would be foolish for anybody to make an argument that he did. George Washington, during the American Revolutionary War, one of the things that he promoted and that he required was that there would be a provision for chaplains among the troops. He wanted to make sure there was a provision for chaplains among the army. And I was reading something the other day. Of all the different denominations represented as chaplains during the American Revolutionary War, it was the Baptist people that supplied the greatest number of chaplains. So to say that George Washington is against or a deist or something like that, that's just nonsense and it's wrong. Well, they talk about in this article about Thomas Jefferson. And they talk about Thomas Jefferson, and I don't have time to go through all of these, but they talk about Thomas Jefferson and his being the author of the Declaration of Independence. That's what they say underneath. Our third president was author of the Declaration of Independence and the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. And it goes on down and said, as president, he explained the First Amendment builds a wall of separation between church and state. So they talk about Thomas Jefferson and they bring out these points about his life. Now, the first thing I've seen as I read over this, or as I read over this, if I was trying to make the case for a godless constitution, I would never mention the Declaration of Independence. If I was trying to put out that line of lies about our history, I would never mention the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in the same sentence. But they say, and this is true, Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence. Now, that was not from his mind, and I don't have time to get into that. If you read the Declaration of Independence, he drew from a large variety of different writings and different writers, John Locke being one of them, and Roger Williams, the founder of the state of Rhode Island. But he had a lot of influences that he drew from, but he did write it and put it together. But anyway, him being the author of the Declaration of Independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence mentions God specifically four different times. The laws of nature and of nature's God. It refers to God being our creator and talking about the unalienable rights that comes from our creator. They appeal to providence. They appeal to the supreme judge of the world. So the Declaration of Independence mentions God. The United States Constitution does not have the name God in it. That is true. And so when they say godless constitution, I'm sure that's what they would say specifically. They would say, well, the Constitution does not have the name of God in it. But you know, President Abraham Lincoln, who also came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in his later years. He was religious growing up and very, very religious. But he came to the place of knowing the Lord and had a good testimony in his later life, in his later years, not long before actually he was assassinated. But President Abraham Lincoln, when he was talking about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution together, he used Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 11, which says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And President Abraham Lincoln said that the Declaration of Independence was the frame that held in it the Constitution. And he said that was the apples of gold in pictures of silver. Any honest historian that really knows their American history or even has studied the laws of our nation, you know, our president really ought to know this. He is supposed to be a constitutional expert, professor, lawyer, whatever it is. I don't think he holds very literal to that, but anyway, he does know a great deal about the Constitution, but an honest historian will express the importance of interpreting the Constitution in light of the Declaration of Independence. These two documents do not stand alone. They must stand together, and they cannot be divorced one from another, because we have out of one, the Declaration of Independence, we have the birth of the other. We have a natural progression there, the one to the other. And so you cannot take these two documents and make them stand alone and divorce them and say that one does not have anything to do with the other. They go together. Now, they refer to this phrase, wall of separation. And that phrase, the wall of separation, was a phrase in a letter from Thomas Jefferson. He wrote about the wall of separation to the Danbury Baptist Association. Now, if you study about the life of Mr. Thomas Jefferson, he did have a great respect for the Baptist people. They fought harder than anybody else for religious freedom. And there was a rumor that there was about to be a state church adopted by the government of the United States of America. And Mr. Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association, assuring them that this rumor of a state church, that it would not be implemented in America. And I want to read from a history book I've got. The name of this is What Hath God Wrought, and it's by an author, Dr. Bill Grady. And I want to read just a little bit about this letter. And it says, President Thomas Jefferson issued a written reassurance on June 1, 1802, that the wall of the First Amendment would keep the government from interfering in religious matters. He said, I contemplate, now this is a direct quotation from his letter, I contemplate with solemn reverence that act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, he's referring to the First Amendment. And then he says, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. That's where that phrase, wall of separation between church and state. But in the historical context, what Mr. Jefferson is referring to is not that there would be freedom from religion, but there would be freedom of religion, that the government would not establish a state church in America, but every person would have freedom of religion. And actually, what the First Amendment does is keeps the government out of the church's business, not the church out of the government's business. If the church cannot cry aloud over the sins of the nation, if it becomes against the law for the churches, preachers, to cry aloud and to expose sin, whether it's personally, whether it's by the government, then the government would be infringing upon that First Amendment right. Now, Mr. Jefferson borrowed this wall of separation from the writings of Roger Williams. Roger Williams established Rhode Island. Rhode Island was the first place in America to have complete religious freedom. And the Baptists associate with Mr. Roger Williams. Well, he later sort of got run in a ditch, we might say. But I appreciate Roger Williams and what he stood for. But Roger Williams wrote this: when they have opened a gap in the hedge or wall of separation between the garden of the church and the wilderness of the world, God hath ever broke down the wall itself, removed the candlestick, and made his garden a wilderness as at this day. And that therefore, if he will e'er please to restore his garden and paradise again, it must of necessity be walled in peculiarly unto himself from the world. And so it was Mr. Roger Williams that used that phrase, a wall of separation. It's talking about keeping the wilderness of the world or the government out of the garden of the Lord. The church is what he's referring to. There needs to be that wall there where the government cannot intrude. Because when the wilderness of the world comes into the garden of the Lord, well, it destroys the garden. It ruins the garden. It defiles the garden. And so Mr. Grady says, according to Roger Williams, the wall of separation was intended to protect the garden of the church from the wilderness of the world. Jefferson made this interpretation clear on many other occasions. In his second inaugural address, he stated, "In matters of religion, I have considered that its free exercise is placed by the Constitution independent of the powers of the civil government." And then he wrote a letter to a Reverend Samuel Miller in 1808. He said, "I consider the government of the United States as interdicted by the Constitution from intermeddling with religious institutions, their doctrines, discipline, or exercises." So what he was saying, the government has to stay out of the business of the church. That's what that wall of separation is for. And that is one of the most misused, abused phrases in our day and time. I have heard, I don't know how many college-educated people say, the Constitution says wall of separation. Nowhere does it mention. It is not in any of our official documents. The word phrase wall of separation is not in any of our official legislation. That was used in 1954 by the Supreme Court wrote a defense to a decision. It's where our modern day so-called establishment clause comes from. But it is abused and twisted and taken out of context. Well, our time is quickly slipping by today. You know that first Congress in 1777, there was a need for Bibles. This is an example of how they did not intend for religion to be banned from anything to do with the government. In 1777, that Congress passed a legislation to buy 20,000 Bibles from overseas and supply to the soldiers in the American Revolutionary War. Well, the clock has caught me today. You know, when the sun came up this morning, there was not a sign in the sky that said, "God did this." But I knew the Lord is behind it. Only a fool would deny the history and the influence of God in our nation. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Well, I thank God for America, our liberty, our freedom, our justice, our godly declaration of independence, and our Constitution. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.
Josiah Mike Rayleigh. A bomb threat against all 9 public schools in Watauga County has turned out to be a false alarm. That's the good news after emergency.